You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Today, I am looking at players available perhaps on your waiver wire who could be options for you to add over the coming weeks, pushing into the end of the NBA regular season. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Indeed, of course, this is not an exhaustive list. These guys may be rostered. They may not be rostered. They may make sense for your team. They might not make sense for your team. It's impossible for me to cover every single eventuality and every single league format and all that sort of stuff. But these are just names at least out there for you to consider. You can see how it all meshes with your team over on Basketball Monster to see whether these ads make sense. So let's talk about these guys that I do want to talk about in today's show. The first guy we'll start with, it's not really in response to the Jaren Jackson injury. If Brandon Clark is sitting on your waiver wire, he's a must roster player. He already was pretty much a must, well not pretty much, he already was a must roster player anyway, and now he's going to be pushing from 24 minutes a night into 30 plus minutes a night. So far this season, Clark has been ridiculous. He's the 102nd ranked player in only 22 minutes a night. That's going to push up pretty considerably over this short term that Jackson's out. Jackson, now the Grizzlies aren't going to shut him down because they're still pushing for the playoffs, but it's a minimum 2 weeks here for Triple J. So Clark's going to get extra minutes. Just make sure he is not on the waiver wire in any league that you are in. The same goes with Malik Beasley. We know that Karl Anthony Towns is out for at least 2 weeks. D'Angelo Russell has planned rest days, whatever bullshit that means for Minnesota. So Beasley's going to have not only high usage for at least those 2 weeks, but extra high usage in those games that Russell sits out. He's going to score really well, and he should not be on any waiver wires either. And then we go also to another one of his teammates, and that is Naz Reid, who got the start last game with Towns out. Now, he is not afraid to shoot. He blocks shots at a decent enough rate. His field goal percentage, it can be a little bit iffy, but he is hitting 36% of his threes. He's not afraid to take them. And if he gets 30 minutes a night, it's pretty clear he's a must-roster 12-team league player. I don't know what happens when Towns comes back. Now, most likely, he just goes back to a 15-minute-a-night roll, 17-minute-a-night roll max, and that is going to render him almost useless for 12-team leagues. But for now, you roster him, you get that top 100 juiciness for the first or for the next couple of weeks, however long it is that Towns is out, and then you can jettison him later. But Naz Reid, Brandon Clark, Malik Beasley, really three hot pickups at the moment. Just want to make sure you know that Daniel Tice should be rostered in all leagues. He has had a really strong couple of months, actually. He's so far this season the 114th ranked player, but it's been significantly better than that of late. Getting those minutes over Enes Kanter. He's playing high 20s instead of low 20s that he was earlier in the season. Blocking shots, good percentages, strong rebounds, solid enough scoring. No reason why Tice should be on any waiver wires, and he's rostered in under 50% of Yahoo leagues. That should change. Last couple of games for Marquese Chris have not been good, but I still wouldn't be leaving him on the wire, especially with Draymond sitting in and out of games. Now, I've mentioned this a few times with Chris, that I do worry if Looney does ever get healthy that they might cut into Marquise's time. I'm not really all that worried about Dragan Bender being there, and then there's Alan Smilagic as well, but you just roster Chris and let's just see what happens, even though those last couple of games have not been impressive. Malik Monk, really, really good stuff from Monk of late, starting to fulfill some of that potential he had. The minutes are up. The production has been much better. He's scoring well. He's hitting threes. Efficiency can be a problem with him at times, but he can get some assists as well. And if anything does happen to Graham or Rozier, then his value will rise even further. Monk, I believe, should be on a roster in pretty much all 12-team leagues at this point. The artist, formerly known as Taurean Prince, has been rough most of this season, especially with his shooting numbers, but I still believe he's underrepresented in fantasy leagues. He's not going to be for everybody, but he's the 132nd ranked player this season, which means he probably should be at least in consideration in 12-team leagues, but rostered in under 50% of leagues means you got to look to see whether that makes sense on your squad. Now, it might not, because he's under 40% shooting, and that's horrendous. He gets you a steal a game, 2.5 threes, 13, 14 points, all that stuff is okay, but it's not going to be for everybody. So he's not out there as, oh my God, I've got to add Prince, especially now that Irving's done, because I don't think that impacts Prince really at all. But it's more like the value's there, the minutes are there, does it make sense in your team? A lot of people think it doesn't, but that might mean that he is available for you to add and see whether it does work on your squad. Paul Washington Jr., the game, 2 games after the All-Star break have been really strong for him. Now, he does have concerns at times with percentages waxing and waning and sometimes the lack of peripheral numbers, but the minutes are going to be pretty strong for Washington, I believe, and he should be on rosters in 12-team leagues. Even though I'm not as high on him as others are, he still should be on a roster, as should Trevor Ariza, who, with Damian Lillard out, is getting a spike in his usage. Now, his steal numbers were already strong. The minutes were already strong. I worry a little bit that when Lillard comes back and then when Zach Collins comes back, it's going to push Melo down to the three a little bit more, which will take Ariza from a 31, 32-minute guy maybe to a 27 or 26-minute guy. There is a little bit of a worry of that happening, but for now, those steal numbers for Ariza are solid, and now the increased usage means more threes and more scoring, and that helps out as well. He can have at least a short run as being a top 100 player for these next week or so while Lillard is sidelined. Let's talk about Kevin Porter. The last couple of games have been pretty rough for Porter. In one of them, he was ejected, and the other one, he had really early fouls, and that kept his minutes under 20. So I'm not looking at that and go, well, now he's shit. Now, it's been concerning the way that JB Bickerstaff has run this rotation, and anybody who has ever seen anything that JB Bickerstaff has done at any point in his career would know that concerning and rotations are two words that you put in many, many sentences that start with Bickerstaff. So that is a problem, Dante Exum getting all these minutes. But I am on, again, the side of, I think it's more the ejection slash fouls that caused the Porter issue these last 2 games, and that will start to rectify itself over the course of the next couple. I would probably prioritize Monk over Porter just because I feel a little bit more confident in what Borrego is going to do with Monk versus what Bickerstaff is going to do with that entire squad. But Porter still should be in that 12-team discussion, while it looks like Ish Smith, rightly or wrongly, is getting the bulk of the minutes there in Washington as the point guard over Shabazz Napier. If he's a 29-minute-a-night guy, there is enough value in him to get mildly excited, especially for his assist numbers. The percentages can be rough. He's not a high-scoring guy. He's not going to hit a ton of threes. But there is enough value in Smith to at least crack the top 150, and getting those assists on their own are valuable, and getting those numbers in can really help your squad. Again, it's a little bit of a specialist type situation. I really like what's happening with Jordan Clarkson at the moment. It doesn't actually seem to matter if Conley's back, because he is still getting those 27, 28 minutes, and it's Royce O'Neal who's now losing out. Clarkson's on a real roll. Now, he can't be expected to continue this level of play that he's currently doing, but the fact that instead of playing 24 minutes a night, which is what he was doing when he first arrived in Utah, versus playing 27, 28, sometimes 30-plus minutes, is the big differentiator to me. He's also getting a ton of shots, a ton of usage, handling the ball in that second unit, and it's working really, really well for him. So I think that Clarkson's a guy, especially if you're looking for points, he is a guy that we should be considering in most 12-team formats, and he's only rostered in 51% of Yahoo leagues. The Shark, Bruce Brown. Baby Shark, Luke Kennard, I don't know when he's coming back. Reggie Jackson is gone. So Brown is going to get pretty significant minutes, you would hope. Derrick Rose is always an injury risk. Yes, Svi Mykhailiuk is there, but Brown can play both of those positions, despite Casey not understanding how basketball works majority of the time. Brown's ability to get steals and block shots and get rebounds and get assists and occasionally hit threes is all really, really useful. It might not stand out in the big points column, but everything else looks pretty good for Brownie. He is probably a back-end 12-team league guy versus a must-roster player, and how that all works out if Kennard returns is still up in the air. But for now, Brownie is putting up some okay numbers. The opportunity's there, and he probably is someone we should look at as a 12-team guy, as is his teammate, Thon McCare. Now, I'm not massively into Thon as a must-roster player, but again, he has been starting majority of these games. He's shooting at a higher level than he has really at any point in his career, but most importantly, he's blocking shots, and the blocks is what's going to get him that fantasy value. He's not a great rebounder usually. He has been a poor shooter usually, and that has really spiked in the last 2 weeks. But his ability to block shots at least gets him onto the 12-team radar. And then you can make your decision after that whether you want him, whether you want to keep him, what else he's going to do. I worry there will be some drop-offs in some of those other areas for Thon and how they work that front court with Siku and Thon and with the crucifix Christian Wood is still a big question mark after that weird-ass benching of Wood against the Bucks the other day. I still think Thon gets those 24 minutes. He won't be a 30-minute a night guy, irrespective of Markieff Morris's absence now, but he still can have that value, especially in that blocks category. Let's talk about a bloke who was absolutely putrid to begin this season, and there's no denying that, and that is Cam Reddish. But to be fair to Cam, and I think I have been pretty fair to him this season, he's playing really, really well. He was a guy that I liked significantly more than his teammate DeAndre Hunter heading into the season from a dynasty perspective, just because of his ability to generate steals and to hit threes in volume. And that's really exactly what we're seeing from Reddish at the moment, who over the last 2 weeks is the 78th ranked player, 16 points a game, but 1.8 steals, 1.3 triples. And after that really horrible start, he is shooting 43% from the field over that period of time and 86% from the line. And he's getting to the line an absolute shit ton, 5.3 free throw attempts per game. And that is pushing him way into that top 100. I don't think we should be leaving Reddish on any 12-team roster, on any 12-team waiver wire at this point with how he is playing. I worry a little bit what they do if Capella comes back and when Hunter's there and how they use these minutes. But I think Reddish is a better prospect than Hunter. I think he's a better, I know he's a better fantasy player than Hunter. And whether they go that direction or not with Cam remains to be seen. But it's been super impressive to see him bounce back from a really poor start to his NBA career. So Cam Reddish, a guy that I like as a 12-team league, at least short-term ad. Jay Crowder's numbers at the moment look pretty good. I'm not looking at him as a must-roster 12-team league guy, but with Butler, with Hero, with Myers, Leonard all sidelined still for Miami, there is opportunity there for Jay to put up some numbers.
Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
That's the problem, though, you have with Crowder is inconsistency and where those minutes actually come from. Derek Jones and him are going to be battling for that playing time. Same with Andre Iguodala. I think Crowder is more of a 14-team league player, but when he's on a hot streak shooting, then he does have 12-team league appeal. And when that falls off, he's pretty much useless. That is the problem. Let's go back to Cleveland and talk about Larry Nance. I don't know what they're going to do with Kevin Love. I don't know what they're doing in general in this Cavs team with how they're doling out those front court minutes. But if Nance gets 24 a night, that's enough to hold in a 12-team league. If Love gets injured or sits out with Achilles bullshits, then Nance is going to play high 20s, low 30s in minutes, and that means he should not be on any waiver wire just to see whatever nonsense Cleveland is going to do. They've already had their full share of nonsense this season, but it's Cleveland, so they get 150% nonsense allowance. Let's talk Coby White, who is absolutely not going to be scared to take shots. The problem is sometimes he's scared of them going in, and he does absolutely nothing else. But with Otto Porter still out, although coming back soon, Chris Dunn gone for the season, Thomas Satoransky, obviously not a favorite of Jim Boylan, White is going to play these mid to high 20s off the bench. He's going to score at a decent enough rate. There's going to be some rough times, much like Jay Crowder, but things are pushing up. He had a career high last game, Coby. Not a must roster guy just because of the wild inconsistencies in his game and the lack of peripheral supporting numbers, but I do think that his role will continue to expand as the season goes on. Let's go the next list of guys I want to talk about here. I'm going to go through these a little bit more quickly. Kent Bazemore, more of a deeper league guy. Same with Trey Lyles, but both of those guys are putting up some strong numbers of late. Troy Brown's minutes are down, but his production per minute is up, weirdly enough. You can try that for the short term. I don't believe it's a must-roster 12-teamer. James Johnson in Minnesota and Juancho Hernangómez, also beneficiaries of the Karl-Anthony Towns injury. Probably more 14-team league guys, especially Juancho. But Jimmy Johnson can be a back-end 12-team league guy. While in Memphis, Gorgui Dieng jumps into an increased role with Jaren Jackson out. You get him getting a majority of those backup minutes, I would imagine, behind Jonas Valanciunas. If he is a 20-minute-a-night guy, he probably pushes into 14-team league discussions. Jordan McLaughlin is going to have spot start type value with D'Angelo Russell and his knee and his rest and his tank and whatever nonsense is going on in Minnesota. So on those days, McLaughlin's a guy we look for. And then circling back to Memphis, I think another thing they could do with the Jackson injury is play a little bit smaller, Kyle Anderson moving up to the four. And that's going to give someone like Josh Jackson an opportunity to play more minutes. Now, this is a guy who's, when he's had minutes in the past, has put up good numbers. And that is going to give him at least a chance to have fringe 14 team league value. It could maybe help the Wave pull D'Anthony Melton if Jackson's going to push up to the three more, or they can play more Brooks at the three, Melton at the two. Melton probably should be rostered in 12 team leagues, but again, more of a steal specialist. But there is going to be a flow on effect from this Jackson injury with Clark, with Jeng, with Jackson, with Melton, all having an increase in value. If you're in a deeper league, the Golden State Warriors, Juan Toscano-Anderson, he's getting steals at a really high rate, so 16-teamers. He's getting like these 16, 17 minutes a night, 1.7 steals he's averaging at the moment. That's really rarefied air to be able to get that level of ball thievery. So Toscano-Anderson is someone you can look at in those deeper formats who's at least going to have a role for this short-term period for Golden State. And then there's another bunch of guys I want to talk about. Actually, no, that was all that I wanted to talk about with those players. So that is my list of waiver wire guys for this week. Don't forget, I'll be back later on to recap all of Sunday's action and then preview Monday's game. Subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube. Give me a thumbs up. Leave a comment down below. Tweet at me. All of those things are great ways of getting in touch. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.